All right, guys, let's get started tonight. All right, we hear about the Pope being in town or in country, in land. Yeah.
I had a newspaper for it.
Oh my gosh! So you wrote a whole newspaper about the Pope coming to town? Huh? That's awesome. Yeah, this is the kids in Philadelphia. So check this out. I don't remember the last time that kids got out of school for an official coming to town, but the kids in Philadelphia get out of school Thursday and Friday because the Pope is visiting, and all this other stuff. They said that they want everybody that wants to see the Holy Father. They want them all to be able to flock up there and see them and check them out. And so I'm just like trying to figure this thing out. Everybody's trying out, you know, we never want church and state to mix again, but now you have an actual whole, you know, city shutting down for a religious leader to come into someone else's town or something like that. Pretty goofy, but we know that the Antichrist is going to be a part of that religion. He's going to come from there. And so it's just kind of funny just to see how the world will put aside their little set things that they say that they run by. For someone that is in that position like that, and they have to go along with the Bible, but they can't refute it and everything. And that Catholic Church, she's the head of everything, and so whenever their leader comes into town, everybody pretty much bows down to them. So it's just kind of funny watching that stuff in the news. I wanted to go over an article with you guys tonight. I don't think it's quite ready to go yet, so I'm not going to do it. Jenny's actually going to bring you guys a lesson tonight on a very good study on Jezebel. We got a lot to actually go over tonight. We're gonna go over that. We'll probably do that first, and then afterwards we're gonna put together a plan for the hayride that's coming up on October 25th. We're gonna put something up on the board here, get some ideas from you guys, and see kind of how we want to run that. I met with the youth group leaders 2 weeks ago. We already ran over some things that are possibilities for that, and so we'll kind of run those things by you guys to see how you want to partake in that. Talk about how that's all going to work out. And we also need to have someone that is ready to answer a question for me from last Thursday. Well, we have Bible study. So get out your Bible study notebooks. Get ready to quiz some of you. Something to share?
Oh, I was telling AJ, I was in the debate the other day, and this kid told the teacher that he thinks the second coming is coming. And then she said, why? He goes, I haven't seen Donald Trump or Jesus in the same room. And
I just started laughing.
He just looked at me like he was mad, and he was serious. But
wow. Is your debate teacher look? So what did you say? Like, your teacher looks like Donald Trump?
The kid said to the debate teacher, and the debate teacher doesn't know anything, so he just sat there and stared at him.
Oh.
Since Jesus lives inside of us, mm-hmm. and they go into school every day, does that mean that they shouldn't have school every day because Jesus is here?
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's the second coming.
Maybe retweet. Like,
I like that.
Yeah.
I think since the Pope is here and people don't have to go to school, I think since Jesus walks into your school every single day, right here,
all right, Maddie, you get that pushing in your school. Pass that to student council, and we'll see what we can do about that.
I'm friends with the president, so.
All right, she's got friends in high places. All right, well, last Thursday night, sometimes when, like, people are asking questions, they're, like, really specific and general, especially, like, when you get into doctrinal things and timeline things, like, this happened at this time, the Bible says it here at this verse and this chapter. Last week was more of kind of ideals we talked about. We kind of talked about certain scenarios that you find yourself in, how you handle those. And so even though there's scripture to back it up, I won't be as dogmatic about the answer that you give me when I ask you these questions, okay? So just know that while going into it. But the first one, Samuel asked the question about what happens to a man that's a vegetable or a retard or brain damaged. Does he get a chance to go to heaven? So let's just say that one of your friends at school asked you that. Well, how would you respond? A man that has brain damage, is like a vegetable, or mentally retarded, do they get a chance to go to heaven and how? All right, Logan?
If they had it, like if they were still under the blood and they became that way, then, or if they were born that way, then they didn't have the, they don't have the mental capacity to accept Jesus Christ as their own personal savior. So they're under the blood and they'll go to heaven. But if you are like 40 and you get in a car accident and you become like brain dead or something, then you're going to die and go to hell if you didn't accept Jesus Christ because you already had that chance to.
So anybody else disagree with that? Me neither. Good. All right. Very, very good, Logan. All right. Now, who can give us some verses on that? Anybody have any verses they can drop for us on that?
Question.
Yes, Sarah.
So if they were born that way, they automatically go to heaven, right?
Yeah, they are under the blood, like Logan said.
So will they be, like, fully clothed with crowns and all? Because they wouldn't have been able to do anything.
That is a great question. I did not have an answer to. Christopher.
I thought they'd get a free ticket, just like how, like, when a baby were to die, they'd automatically get the robe and everything because they didn't get the chance.
Yeah, like I said, I can't show anywhere like where that individual gets that. Everybody, everywhere else in the Bible talks about us working for those things, working for your role, working for your rewards, working for this. It's something you have to put time into after salvation to be able to get. So if a baby gets all that stuff, sure, that's one idea. I can't dispute it. I can't prove it either. So that's just one of those things. I'm not sure. I don't have anything in the Bible. Aaron?
I've heard Bob say something about, if a guy gets saved and goes outside, gets hit by a car, dies, then God will give him everything that he would have gotten if he would have lived out his life.
Yeah.
So God will show you, well, if you didn't die, you would have done this.
Yeah. And that's, he's basing that pretty much off of whatever hard attitude that guy had when he died. If in his hard attitude, he's like, well, shoot, now I'm saved, man, I'm just going to go and sell out to God completely and just go out and do that. Then he's saying if he gets hit by a car or something like that, well, God will bless him for that hard attitude, even though he didn't get a chance to fulfill those things, if his heart was in that place and he gets that. And so, like I said, that's exactly what I've always heard too from Bob. But other than that, I have like no proof or nothing like that biblically to show you guys anything like that. As far as you and I are concerned and everything else like that, those rewards are, they're all called earned rewards. There's stuff you have to put time and labor into to get after salvation. Salvation is free, and we know that. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation comes free, but your reward after that, the Bible is clear about you having to work for that. Now, those individuals like we just discussed, the retards, the ones that don't get to fulfill their plan, I don't know. We'll find out once we get up there. Once we get up there. Turn over here to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let me show you how God kind of handles these things. These are good verses you can also use for a kid that's under the age of accountability. Someone that gets to Deuteronomy chapter 1, read verse 38 and 39. Well, no, pick it up and you want to get what you're talking about. Pick it up in verse 31. Deuteronomy 1, 31.
And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in the thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, and a fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give your fathers. Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord.
What am I reading to?
Oh, keep going down to verse 38 and 39.
Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither and encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which ye say should be afraid, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it.
All right, so the story here, Old Testament-wise, Israel's coming through the wilderness, and they're out there in that wilderness of sin. They come against their enemies and all that stuff like that. And then they get to this great river, the River Jordan. You hear a lot of songs about that, going across Jordan's River and go over into the Promised Land. And Old Testament-wise, you can look at that as a picture of heaven. Someone stepping out of the place where they fought their battles, where they got tempted, where they had to endure hardness, they cross Jordan, they float, and they step into that land of milk and honey. So a lot of songwriters use that as a picture of heaven, someone leaving this earth and going up to heaven. Now we know for a Christian, inspirationally, the Promised Land, that's just us living by the promises of the Word of God from day to day. But for the Jews back here, the ones that murmured and complained for that 40 years while they're in the wilderness, they didn't get to go into the Promised Land. But there were some that did get to go in. You guys remember that song, 12 men went to spy on Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Who were the 2 that were good that got to go into the Promised Land?
Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah, Joshua and Caleb. But look who else got to go in verse 39. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. So if you look at that as a picture of heaven, that's a picture of how those kids get to go into heaven because they were under that age of knowing the difference between good and evil. All right, come over here to Romans chapter 4, verse 5, or 4, verse 8.
Could you use this verse for, brain image and stuff?
Yeah, because, I mean, they have no knowledge between good or evil. And that's the principle that we're looking at here. Folks that have no knowledge between good and evil. And here's a really solid, simple verse on it. This is what happens to them. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The reason why people die and go to hell is because God says, you knew better, and so therefore I'm going to hold you accountable. He imputes sin to them, and so that sin is on them. The thing about Jesus Christ, when we talk about us being washed by the blood and saved by the blood washes us and it cleanses us. That's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 over there. What does that thing say? Come let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Let them be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. They get washed in that blood. All right, so verse 8 in Romans chapter 4 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. All right, let me show you one more thing over here in Romans chapter 7, verse 9. This applies to all of us. The Bible says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. You see that? The Bible says that we lived without any type of knowledge of sin at one time. That's like when you were a kid. That's when you were young. All right? But when the commandment came, you became knowledgeable of your sins. The Bible says, then sin revived, and I died. So that's how that thing falls up for somebody. That's not how a kid comes into that age of accountability. And if you are like a brain dead guy or a vegetable or something like that, you don't have to worry about that because the Bible says, just like it said over in Romans chapter 4, verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So good on that one. Let's do one more. Any questions on that one? Christopher, I saw you had your hand up.
I had a question. Like, you know how those people, like those jacked up doctors took out that fetus and was doing like experiments on it and stuff?
No, I don't know anything about that, but go ahead.
Okay. So, like, they took it out of a woman, and they're doing illegal experiments on the fetus, and they're saying we got to keep it alive. Would that count as taking the breath of life?
Of taking the breath of life?
Yeah.
So if it's a fetus, that means it's not even a baby yet, right?
Yeah, they took it out of the mom trying to keep it alive.
Did it breathe?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Well, yeah, because that's the whole thing. Once it has breath in it, once it has that, that's what the Bible calls life. Because that's just based off of Genesis 2:7. The Bible says, and God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and then man became a living soul. So, people, you know, they'll have debates and arguments about, you know, well, I believe that life is at conception. I believe that life is here. You can hear a baby's heartbeat, you know, this far out and stuff like that. Going off what the Bible says, God bases it off of when you get breath inside of you. And breath in the Bible is God's spirit. That's Job 33:4. So that's simple. God says, when I put my spirit in you, you have life. Until I do that, you don't. So that's just how that works out. So good. All right, next one. You might have written these down. I hope you did, because they're very important for this day and age. We are over in Colossians chapter 3. I won't give the verses because I'll give it away. But Pastor Bob laid out four things that destroy the Laodicean church.
Four what?
Four things that destroy the Laodicean church.
Did you ask me when we get them?
Oh, do you have them? I want you to lay them out for me.
I can give you the verse all in and then
talk about it. Oh, okay, so hold on. Does anybody have the list without the verse? If not, we'll just go straight to the verse and show you where we got the list from. Oh, that's 8:3. I'm sorry, guys. Colossians 2. Yeah.
Colossians 2?
Mm-hmm. There are four things that would destroy the Laodicean church in there. All right, AJ, go ahead and give me the verse.
Colossians 2:8, and it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ.
There you go. Did you guys catch those four things in that verse right there? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, number one. Vain deceit, number two. The tradition of men, number three. And number four, the rudiments of the world. Alright? Anybody get those down and be able to lay them out? Alright, what about philosophy?
Isn't that in Ecclesiastes?
It is. There are about, what is that, 22 philosophies?
Like the
28. Like might, yeah, either
it's
that.
It lines up with the moon phases or something.
Yeah.
What was the last thing?
I just left that verse. What was it?
Tradition
of man, rudiments of the world. Yeah. I guess there's 32 philosophies over there.
Yeah.
All right, so simple definition here. Philosophy. That's basically man's thoughts on something, all right? You can have, when we use the Bible for absolute standard of truth and things like that, but philosophy is pretty much man coming to his own understanding of something. You lose the Bible and you place it with man's ideas. That's what philosophy comes down to. Vain deceit, the way that Pastor Bob laid that one out, is you become a believer in your own deception. You trust in your lie. So it's vanity that you're deceived by. A good example of that would be evolution. It's vain. It comes to no end, but then you're deceived by it because you don't want to believe what the Bible has to say about creation. All right, tradition of men, that can be anything that we do that's goofy. That can be anything from our, what do you call that C word?
Christmas.
Yeah, well, that's it. Christmas is one of those. It's a tradition. Very good. It can be anything from our religion to our, when you're like, I just like went completely brain dead right there. It's like they say you're, oh my gosh, when you like don't walk under a ladder. And because you're afraid of black. Thank you. Oh my God, C word. Yeah, that's how I couldn't figure it out because I started with a C. All right, Cooper T. So yeah. Anything from your religion to your superstitions to like the old mama's tales, you know, and all that junk like that. Even Newton's laws and all that junk. So, or not Newton's laws. Who's the guy that we say? No, not
like
that guy.
Darwin.
Man, I feel like I'm like fried. My brain is going right now. Murphy's laws. Bam.
Oh.
All right, got him.
So it's like people who
Yeah, so see, Sarah, I just passed on to Sarah. That's beautiful. So we're all gonna be brain dead, and we're not gonna be under the age of accountability anymore. So
oh,
good.
Like conspiracy theory people?
That's even deeper.
When you said
that's
superstitious stuff, that's what
yeah.
I thought of you.
I mean, that's right there with their cousins. You know, they're quite second or third, but they're close. All right, then. Rudiments of the world. I actually didn't get a good definition down for that. Anybody else get a good definition for rudiments of the world?
Politics.
Oh, I have. Everybody else does it, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Rudiments of the world. That's a great way. So politics, because that makes sense. Everybody else does it. That's how we get the what's politically correct. What's accepted and what is everybody else doing becomes what's PC, what's politically correct. So there you go. Rudiments of the world. Very good.
I can write on paper, but it will continue. So funny.
All right, and the original question that came from was over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. It said this: let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. All right, and the question on that, I believe, was what angels are being worshipped or something like that? Is that what it was? What angels are being worshipped? Does anybody remember what that answer was and how that thing was laid out? The worshipping of angels there.
Did he tie it back to the whole traditions of men and how like these people would be worshiping angels thinking that something was going to happen back like it did, I don't know, like Massachusetts? Or
yeah.
Like, did he tie it back to like communion, how like a lot of churches will do it like every Sunday, even though Christ didn't like set a certain day, like here's when we do it?
Yeah, I think eventually he tied it in to that more. But
exactly
the first thing you said was right on too, just about how men got into their traditions and stuff like that, and were expecting, like you said, even like Genesis 6 to get something back. But think about the religions out there that have angels that are very prominent in their religion, like Mormonism. That's the angel Moriah that brought the golden tablets down. Islam, the 600 winged Gabriel that brought the book of Quran to Muhammad and everything like that. So a lot of those religions are big into those angels and stuff like that, like the Bible said, talking about things which they haven't seen. Anybody that knows the Bible definition of an angel knows it wouldn't have wings on it. So how does yours have 600? Well, it was a demon. It was a fallen angel. So that's how that stuff works out, and that's what he laid out there about the worshiping of angels and stuff. So he was saying don't be fooled by that demon. And isn't that funny how those major religions are based off of exactly that? So there's the Bible right there being a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path to keep you from those slip-ups, those dark holes that are waiting for you out there. All right. Well, good job on that. Let's get some singing in. We'll keep rolling on. Stand up. Get on your feet.
Our cross country had to run like to our school.
I was like,
our running was kind of like 38 minutes.
Like, oh, wow.
295. Here we go. 295. What's that? 295. Alright, he leadeth me. Here we go, guys. Oh, how did you miss that? 295. 295. When you come down here, it's like a yell in your ear.
I thought you said 49.
If I can get this chair up. Alright, no, 295. Here we go. Nice and cozy, right? Alright. He leadeth me, oh, blessed thought. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me.
My father. prayer. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world.
Prophetic doctrinal question there. When will earth and heaven all be one?
Read the book.
It's when, like, he destroys this world and then moves it back up where it should be.
Part of it. Not only does he destroy this world, he's going to destroy that darkness above this world, too. It's going to explode.
And the Bible talks about that light that's in heaven, God's light, going throughout the whole universe.
Eternity.
There's no more first, second, third heaven. It's just heaven and earth is in the middle of that stuff, out there in eternity. So Revelation 22. Revelation 22. All right, what's our next one? 294, right? Yeah. Savior like a shepherd, lead us.
Can we do 334?
Yes, we can. Was that, do that on my vision?
Yeah.
All right. Wait, what's two? The older kids always choose like the slower, more melodic song. The younger kids just want to yell. I know that. That's what I do on Sundays.
It's so true.
294. Here we go. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, lead us. For our use, thy foes prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus,
thou hast loved us,
love us still.
Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Be thou my vision. 334.
I started that too
much. What?
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I am
praise. Amen.
Thou mine inheritance, now and always, Thou and Thou only first in my heart. High King of Heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach Heaven's joys, O bright Heaven's Son. Heart of my own, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
127.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Alleluia! What a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing. My pardon with his blood. Alleluia. What a Savior.
I'll take it up. Seems like it's a little low for you guys.
Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, now in heaven exalted high. Alleluia. What a Savior. And when he comes, our glorious King, all his ransoms home to bring, then anew this song will sing. Alleluia! What a Savior!
All right, last one. What's it gonna be?
128.
Woo! Okay, I heard. And can it be wounded for me? 127 again?
27.
Everybody sing whatever song you feel like.
Yeah, alright, everybody sing it.
Oh my gosh. Sing it fast.
I am
ready.
Dude, I've been listening to that.
Alright, out of 44. And 27. Poster song? What'd you say? Alright, so far we got 27, 44, or poster song. Alright, raise your hand for 44. That's And Can It Be That I Should Gain. One.
Raise
them
up.
The next one is I Sing the Mighty Power of God.
Oh,
I sing the mighty power of
God. Oh.
Now we're in a straight betwixt two. Oh my goodness. Alright, so alright, so out of And Can It Be, raise your hand. One, two, three. All right, I sing the mighty power of God.
Dang it, guys.
All right, 27 it is. Here we go.
Oh, 27.
Yeah.
I was like,
all right, here we go, 27.
I've seen the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas of rock and built the lofty skies. I've seen the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I've seen the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word, and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While love that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there.
Someone to pick, and mostly when you're, it's probably my third or fourth group that I've been a part of, and usually people pick good people to study, some, you know, people that have good characteristics that you can learn from, but I decided to study Jezebel. Who here has heard of Jezebel? Okay, Logan, what do you know about Jezebel?
She was the queen of Israel, and she was very bad.
Okay, AJ, what do you know about Jezebel?
About the same.
Same here. Whenever you hear this name Jezebel, it always conjures up this idea of wickedness. And for me, I wanted to know why. Because, you know, I just know surface things, kind of like what everyone else mentioned, that she was the queen of Israel and she was bad. So that's why I wanted to know, why was this woman so wicked? Why do people not name their kids Jezebel? All that kind of stuff. So that's what I did. So we're going to start back in the Old Testament in 1 Kings 16. This is the first place you're going to find her mentioned. Okay, 1 Kings 16, I'm going to read 29 through 33. Her name actually means chaste, which is quite the opposite of, hopefully you can see that. Not like chase down the road, but chased. Okay, so 1 Kings 16, this will be our introduction to Jezebel. We're reading, I'll read 29 through 33. It says, and in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. So this is the first place we are finding Jezebel, and it says that she married Ahab. Ahab was the king of Judah, I think it said back there, Israel. Anyways, Ahab, he was like David. He was in that whole line of kings that were supposed to be, it was God's country. He was supposed to be following God, obeying God, trusting God. And what he did was he took to wife a woman named Jezebel who belonged to a country called the Zidonians. The Zidonians, you don't have to turn here, but a little history on who they are. Back here in Genesis 10:15, it says, "And Canaan begat Zidon, his firstborn, and Heth." So we know the Zidonians come from the line of Canaan, which is not the good line. And remember, God had cursed Canaan for what his father Ham had done unto Noah, which Zach taught a couple months ago. So that Zidonians are that family coming down from Canaan, whom God had cursed. And they're actually the enemies of God. And I'll show you over here in Judges, to prove this, in Judges chapter 10, verse 6. Yes. Judges 10:6 says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served him not." So this country is serving false gods. That's basically all you need to know. Them, along with all these other countries listed in verse 6, they were serving false gods. And then also, 1 Kings 11, verses 1 and 2. 1 Kings 11, 1 and 2. "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon played unto these in love." So this is the family line that she comes from. Her father is king of the Zidonians. His name is Ethbaal. If you dissected that word, it's got Baal right in it, which is the masculine false god that they were serving back then. And she's his daughter. And so Ahab goes and he marries this woman. And in verse 31 in our passage where we started in 1 Kings 16, God says, "And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing." So this is like no big deal for Ahab, but it was to God. This was specifically who he told him not to commune with. And I know you guys have been to this passage before over here in Psalms that talks about walking and standing and sitting with people who aren't equally yoked with you, who don't have the same heart as you. It's eventually, you know, when you start hanging out with the wrong crowd, you start watching the wrong things, you start listening to the wrong things on the radio, it is just a downward spiral that you're first just walking with them, you're dabbling in it, it's not a big deal. Eventually you're standing still with them, you're participating a little bit more now, and then you sit down and you're fully involved in that. And that's exactly what Ahab did. Like I said, he was the king of Israel, in God's country. He was supposed to be God's king and trusting him and getting his advice from him, but he wasn't. What he did was he married his God's enemy, the king of that country, his daughter. So, any questions on that? Okay. And this I won't get into because it's too much of a thing, but it says back here in that same verse, verse 31, said that it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And you can write this down and go and look at it later, but it's in the same book in 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33. If you've ever read through the Old Testament, I hope some of you have, but you'll find this verse, this phrase a lot, the sins of Jeroboam. And if you ever wonder what that is, you're going to find it defined back there in 1 Kings 12, verses 25 through 33. And basically what this guy did, he set up his own false religion. He created a special day for people to worship, a special sacrifice that wasn't what God had told them to do. He set up priests of the lowest class who weren't part of the tribe of Levi. So that's basically what he did, because he saw that if he were to allow the nation of Israel to continue on, they would turn their hearts back to God, which is supposed to be a good thing. But this king was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make this false religion. I'm going to put it in a place that's more convenient for them. They're going to go and be able to worship them. So if you want to study that, that's back in 1 Kings 12, 25 through 33. And it says, it's a reference again here in our passage in chapter 16 that says that Ahab is doing the same thing. He is walking in these sins of Jeroboam. And that's what he's doing. He's going after this false religion by taking up with Jezebel. All right. So let's find out. There's a couple stories on Jezebel. So that's how we're introduced to her. We don't know beyond that. We don't know how they met. We don't know how long they dated. We don't know how he proposed. We don't know anything about the wedding ceremony. It just says that they met and that Ahab married her. So our first story with more detail on her is two chapters over, 1 Kings 18. And if you've ever read this story, hopefully you have, it's the story of Elijah. And he's having a contest with this, I don't even remember specifically who they are, but anyways, enemies of God, basically. And he has a competition with them saying, I'm going to have you get an altar ready, and you prepare it, and I'll get an altar ready, and I'll prepare it. And we'll see who has the best God. Whoever's God can light this altar on fire. And so these false prophets, they spend all day dancing around, cutting themselves, trying to get their firewood to light up to prove that they have the best God. And obviously that doesn't work. And so towards the end of the story, Elijah has them actually douse his altar with water. And so the wood is completely drenched in water. And of course he has the correct God, and so his does light up on fire. So that's the whole story of this contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And each one had a bullock, and the contest was to see whose God could ignite a fire under that sacrifice. So I'm just going to read, for time's sake, we're going to read just a couple of verses about her specifically. The first one is in verse 4. 1 Kings 18, verse 4. It says, "For so it was, when Jezebel cut off the priests, the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water." And this phrase, maybe it's not familiar to you, like if someone has been out drinking or something and they say, we need to cut him off, that means we need to stop serving him alcohol. That's what this phrase is being used to say here, that Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. She made it so that they weren't allowed, they couldn't get the food that they need, the supplies that they need. So we already see she's not cool to be able to do that to God's people, to have that attitude towards them, to cut them off so that they wouldn't be able to survive and get the things that they need. So our next verse will be over here in verse 19, same chapter. It says, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So there's two sanctuaries here. You don't get the full detail right here, but I'm just going to explain. There's two sanctuaries. There's one in Samaria, and it has 450 priests of Baal. And there's another one that is 400 priests, and it says that they all ate at her own table, which eat at Jezebel's table. So she is taking care of 400 prophets of Baal by her own table and feeding them and taking care of them. So again, we see that this woman is not supporting God's people. She's supporting these prophets of Baal. And at the end of this chapter, verse 40, towards the end of the chapter, it says, "And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let none of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and he slew them there." So after these Baal prophets weren't able to get their bullock to light up and ignite, Elijah has them all killed. She didn't appreciate this. They weren't successful, obviously, and at Elijah, he's asking for help in rounding up the prophets, and he took them to this brook, and he has them all killed. So we'll see her reaction to this, her precious prophets, what happens in the next chapter, in 1 Kings 19. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. I'm going to read the next verse. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. So Elijah has just, this previous chapter, he's just had a huge victory. He's facing at least 400 prophets of Baal by himself. He doesn't have anyone there who's helping him, except for God, of course. And he's able to prove to them whose God was correct, and then he takes all these prophets and has them killed. And then in the next chapter, he gets a message from Jezebel. Not even firsthand. She doesn't even come to him firsthand. It comes secondhand, a message from this woman. And it is enough to send Elijah into a tailspin. If you read like the next 10 verses of this chapter, he goes into this depression, which we've all, well, which Bob has explained before. He won't eat. He's not sleeping. He's off in the wilderness. He's by himself. And it all stems from this woman sending this message to him about, I'm going to get you back for what you've done to me. So what kind of reputation this woman must have that this is going to cause Elijah, who's supposed to have a great relationship with God, it just sends him, her threatening him, it just sends him into this tailspin. So that's the first story on her. The second story is in 1 Kings 21. And this one is Naboth's vineyard. I'm going to read this one. I don't know if you guys know this story. It's a good story. So 1 Kings 21, I'm going to read verses 1 through 24. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may take it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, Oh, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, and he turned away his face, and he would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders, and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bring witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him forth out of the city, and stoned him with stones, and he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard which Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab arose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. So,
could you read that one more time?
No. So, to recap, there's a guy, he lives near Ahab, he's got a vineyard. Ahab wants it. It's more convenient. I want to make my herbs here and have a nice little garden. I can look out my window and see it. It would be so nice. Well, Naboth doesn't want to give it up. If Old Testament law was it passes down through your family. That's how it goes. And Naboth's like, I can't do this. I'll be sinning against the Lord. So Ahab just can't take it. He's the king. He's never been told no. He goes home and he throws himself on his bed. And he's pouting worse than Brady does. And he just can't take it. And he's not eating. He's got his face against the wall. Like, I'm sure we've all had our moments where we don't get our way. And we throw a little fit. And that's what he does. In walks his awesome wife. And she's like, what's the matter? And he says, he retells the whole story. And she says to him in verse 7, And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Aren't you in charge here? What's the matter? Take over this thing. You can have whatever you want. You're in charge. Who cares about God's law and what he says? And then at the very end of verse 7, I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. She's going to make this happen. Quite the little helpmeet. I talked about how Angela taught me one time there's two types of provoking in the Bible. There's a good way to provoke someone, and there's a bad way to provoke someone. Jezebel is a good example of how not to provoke someone. This woman is provoking him in the wrong direction. Zach is my husband, obviously, and he is a good helpmeet for me. He has strengths that I do not have. I have strengths that he doesn't have, and he provokes me in a good way. He helps me in my relationship with the Lord. He doesn't try and, you know, prevent me. He sees me reading my Bible. He's like, no, no, put that away. Let's watch a movie. Like, that's bad provoking. So that's what Jezebel is doing. She's being a bad example of provoking someone. So what she does, she's taking matters into her own hand, and she does in verse 8. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. So she forges some letters. No big deal. Not a big deal. Okay. No one questioned her. No one stood up to her. And she's going to have Naboth set up. She sends two of her men, this Belial, are people that worship Baal, that masculine false god. And she sends these two men to bear false witness against them. And what she does is she brings the God of Israel into it now, when it's convenient. She says, you know what, let's just say that he blasphemed God. Because when you do blaspheme God in the Old Testament, stoning someone is actually the correct punishment for him, which you can look at in Leviticus 24:16. So it's the correct law when you blaspheme God to have them stoned. So this happens. They carry it out. They set him up. False witnesses. He dies. They stone him. And in verse 14, it says, Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. Which is interesting because, if you remember, she forged those letters. Weren't they from Ahab? Weren't they sealed with Ahab's seal? But they know who's in charge. And they sent word back to Jezebel. So, everything is good. Ahab's up. He's ready to go. He's going to go and take out his new possession. He's going to go check it out. Elijah meets him on the way. He gives him a bit of bad news about how he's going to die. Okay. In 2 Kings 9, I'll show you. I will tell you also that not only did Jezebel have to have Naboth killed, but because of, like we talked about, that the law of the Old Testament, it would have naturally passed on to any of Nahab's sons, if he had sons. If not, it would have passed on to the nearest relative. And let me find my verse. Sorry. Okay, 2 Kings 9:26. She not only had to have just Naboth killed, she had to have the rest of his family killed as well. It says in 2 Kings 9:26, "Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plate, saith the Lord. Now therefore, take him and cast him to the cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord." So at the top of that verse, "Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons." So she had to have the whole family wiped out for just to be able to take possession of this one vineyard, which I'm sure was just on a whim. You know, I'm adding that in. But, you know, we all get these whims. Zach's had them. I can attest to that. You know, you see something that you want. It sparks interest. You have to have it immediately. You know, there's no time. There's no thought, no consideration. It's just on a whim that you want these things. And so, unfortunately, Naboth paid the price for that and his whole family. So the last thing I want to leave you with, I'm going to read a verse from the New Testament. It's over here in Matthew 7, and I'm going to read verses 15 through 20. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." So we know that fruit in the Bible, it can be a picture of, it is a picture spiritually of children. Like in the spiritually in the New Testament, children, physically in the Old Testament, children. You know, they say the fruit of the womb, all that kind of stuff. So let's look at her fruit. The oldest son that she had, his name was Ahaziah. And he reigns, he takes over after, I'll write down, Ahaziah. That's her oldest son, and he's going to reign right after Ahab dies. You find that in 1 Kings 22:40. And he was just like his mother. He was an evil king. And his mom was his counselor, not his God. You can read that in 2 Kings 22, 52 and 53. And 2 Chronicles 22, 3. So he was just like his mom. He was evil. His mom was his counselor, not God. And he dies in 2 Kings 1 of a disease after falling through a lattice. Second oldest son was, he had two spellings, Joram. Two spellings on his name. Second oldest son, and he's going to take over and reign after Ahaziah, because Ahaziah had no son. He reigns for 12 years, and he dies by getting shot with a bow between the arms. And the arrow came out of his heart. 2 Kings 9:24. These are not pleasant deaths. Mom and dad both died terribly. Dogs ate them. And now this is not going well for the rest of her children. She has a wonderful daughter. This is probably the best one. I'm being silly. Her name is Athaliah. 2 Chronicles. You don't have to read these. Go to them. I'm just going to quote them. 2 Chronicles 24:7. She's called a wicked woman. 2 Chronicles 22:10. She's a murderer. So right down the line. 2 Chronicles 23:15. She was killed for what she had done, just like her mother. 2 Chronicles 22 verses 2 and 3. She now counsels her kids to do wickedly also. So by their fruits ye shall know them. There's no good fruit coming off this tree. That's all I have on her. Do you have any questions? Sounds like a good future girlfriend. Oh, Logan.
How did Jezebel die?
Okay. Over here. Sorry, I was running out of time, so I skipped some stuff.
She like fell off the balcony or something.
Oh, she does. It's also a good story. 2 Kings 9. 2 Kings 9, 30-37. That last passage that we read over about Naboth and the vineyard and how Elisha was given a message by God to go and confront these two and tell them how they were going to die. It doesn't actually happen until this chapter, 2 Kings 9, 30-37. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Had Zimri peace, who slew his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him 2 or 3 eunuchs. And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trode her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, "Go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, This is Jezebel." So it says back here at the start of this passage in verse 30, Jezebel sees him coming. What she does, she understands death is at her door. She paints her face, which is like putting on makeup in the, you know, today's day and age. It says she tired her hair, which I looked up that. It either means she put on a wig or somehow like put ornaments in her hair, like an old, you know, English kind of monarch would put little barrettes and things like that. She put a little wig or those kinds of adornments in her hair. So she got ready. This lady, she's ready to die. She's going to look good. And Jehu is on the ground, and he looks up, and he sees her at the window. And he says, "Who's on my side? Who is on the Lord's side?" And 2 or 3 eunuchs say, "We are." They take her. They flip her out the window. It says that some of her blood sprinkled on the wall, so I'm assuming that maybe her body, like, ricocheted off the wall maybe a little bit. I don't know how blood would sprinkle. She falls out the window nevertheless. She hits the ground, and it says that Jehu, at the end of 33, he trod her underfoot. So he's on his horse and just decides to move forward a little bit, make sure the job is done. And doesn't seem to mind, because in the next verse he goes in and he has a meal and has a drink. Not a big deal. And he says, "We'll get to this later. Yeah, she's the king's daughter. We'll take care of her and bury her later." But they came back. All they found was her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hands, which was prophesied by the Lord. So I will tell you this, just to throw this in. Proverbs chapter 6. You don't have to turn here either. We all know this passage over here in Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. That passage starts out saying that, "These 6 things that the Lord hate, yea, 7, are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Jezebel did all these things. So, "These 6 things that the Lord hate, yea, 7, are an abomination unto him." So,
Christopher, do you have something?
That's a lot of stuff.
You know, like, it's like this. Like when it's like this through a window. You know?
So that's how the first son died?
Kind of like a garden. You see that mostly like in gardens. So
how did he die?
He fell through one of those. Her son did.
Okay.
He fell through like
so
that.
So he just like tripped and just
the insert own he text here. Yeah. There's no, it doesn't say. Somebody could have pushed him. You never know.
They're playing football inside the house. Don't watch the ball inside.
Yeah, he didn't die through falling the lattice. It just says he died after he fell through it in 2 Kings 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey guys, listen, hold on, Sarah's got something.
Okay, so in 1 Kings 21, like Naboth is a picture of Christ, right?
I don't know.
Like I just studied, like I was going through the book study, and that's what Bob. Oh. That was one of those stories. That's what so. Is that wrong?
No. Not at all.
Okay. I was just
I think you're right. Because here I have the same thing. I have similarities between this story.
Outside the city
he's trying to like spell the vineyard, right. Which is like.
Yeah.
Then I was wondering, like, who. If, like, Naboth is. Or, like, since Naboth is Christ, I was wondering who.
Sons of Belial?
Yeah. Like, so who are the sons? Or, no. Oh, no, I was wondering who the whole family was. If he wanted to kill Naboth's whole family, and fit, like, if Naboth is Christ, does that make sense?
No, it absolutely makes sense. So, doctrinally, now we're getting to doctrinal. Now, how do we break that up?
Is it?
They take out Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. Who's his family?
The Jews.
Yeah, that's what the Antichrist wants to do. He wants to wipe out the whole race, the whole group of Jews.
I also
good job,
on verse 33... when it says they throw out the window, that it's a picture of the second coming.
I believe you, though.
Are you in 2 Kings 9 again?
2 Kings 9.
I do hear that. Yeah, this also happens at the second coming. When God stomps everyone under his feet and like that blood goes everywhere.
That's almost the window part.
Nice.
Good job, guys. Woo. Anybody else have notes they want to share?
Yeah, they just have squished the rings.
I hope you don't have nightmares.
Of Jezebel. One time I had a dream.
It's a lot of violence.
Like, my middle name is Michael. I thought I was Michael. That's why I kicked Satan down the hole.
Kicked you down the hole? Satan?
Yeah.
Is Satan Michael? Oh. What'd you say?
I kicked the devil down when the bomb was lit.
Oh! Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah. So you were the angel, Michael, what you're saying. Good. Jenny, awesome job. Thank you so much. Where did the eraser go? Okay, real quick, before we break up, so this hayride that's coming up, last year, I'm going to try to draw a picture of Gary's land to get me. So, this here is Gary's house. Okay. This is that big white 18-wheeler he has over there. Alright. This is the front gate. And then we came in. Parked right there.
It's like a
good. Tree line, deer stand. Look at that, boy. Okay.
That's pretty good.
Last year, we pretty much set up camp right here. Remember we played that little pumpkin snatch game? Something like that? I was thinking. You tell me this.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. This could be good.
It can be. You're right. Oh, okay. Well, I'll be really quick. Next time, we'll figure out the rest of this. But what if we made you guys... like the taggers and stuff like that, and we played a style of Gestapo, the Halloween style. You guys are the people, and the little kids are trying to get across like a certain border or something like that and get to a base. It's you guys' job, like the camp counselor's job, was to keep you guys from getting there. So, what do you guys think about doing a game like that? What are you thinking?
Okay, so is the way to get across the way was at camp?
No, because the landscape would be different.
Okay.
Oh, you mean asking the question?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys, I realized I made that up that night. Like, that wasn't even the plan. Like, when we, so, like, when you asked that, I was just like, this is a good opportunity to teach something, so.
They could try to make it through that thing.
No, I didn't even ask him. He asked me. I guess we're making sure that. Okay, this is fine. Because since search is over, listen. Have that in your minds. Be thinking about Gary's Lane. If we play that game, when you guys are like that for the little kids, stuff like that, what's a good setup to play that? Where's a good spot to play it? You know, you got to think about safety. You got to think about all that stuff. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll also talk about the hayride some more next time.
Lauren's going to lead the really fast runners team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's out of closet.
I'm not going to be in her group, man. I'm fast. All right, guys. Logan.
I'd be fast.
Hey, let's pray it out. Logan, close us out with a word of prayer, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah. No, it's you even have
Yes, that's not even that's just.
I'm sorry!
No, you're not!
I didn't mean!
Give me a couple minutes!
What was your favorite song she performed?
Oh, you're in Taylor Swift.
She mainly did her new album, right?
Thank you.
Hey, no. Pick those up. Put them back.
Yeah.
tried to draw Brittany is sabotaging.
Oh, I didn't see him. I thought you were drawing by yourself. Granting him a little note.
What are you eating? Spit it out. Was that popcorn? Yeah. We don't pick up things off the ground. We don't just pick up things off the ground. Pray now. Okay, I'm praying in.
Yeah.
Or keep on saying whatever that drop was.
Amen. Only because he's okay, though.
Oh, you grow your tail.
Yeah. If he turns scribble tonight, you should probably get in the...
How's your family?
My mom.
Your mom's mom?
She's still breathing. But she's been unresponsive for 9 days, and we're a little exhausted. Yeah. Otherwise...
Yes. What do you got? I'm so glad it's not. I was like, I gave it the invitation. I was like, oh no.
It's his.
The week after.
Oh, good. Yes, I can come. Yay.
Trevor is busy. Like, there are a ton of good things in the first week. No. I'm going to kiss you.
No.
Remember what we say. That, please.
That, please.
When is Brady's actual birthday? Is it the 8th?
The 9th.
The 9th.
Some applesauce.
Okay. Do you know, is Bob planning to do anything for Halloween for everybody or for the church? Or
I don't know.
Okay.
Mmm.
Can
I say thank you? If you love for this week, you gave us presents for our bodies, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Dad.
Mommy.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. I'm just teasing you. I do not know. Here are the official rules. Brady, don't touch. The following is an abbreviated version of the rules printed in the official NAVA rulebook.
Oh my gosh.
Teams will be made up of 6 to 10 players. 6 players will compete on each side. Additional team members will be available as substitutes. Substitutes may enter the game only during timeouts or in the case of an injury. The field may be played indoors or outdoors. The playing field shall be a rectangle at least 50 feet long and at least 30 feet wide, divided into two equal sections by a center line and attack lines 3 meters from and parallel to the center line. Oh, goodness.
This sounds really complex.
No, it's like this. It's a volleyball.
Oh, okay, I get it. 6 to 9 people.
And then the balls.
Balls are in the middle. Okay, yeah.
And then there's the attack line like that.
And you can't cross the attack line.
Ideal measurements, 60 feet by 30 feet.
Is that a normal volleyball court? That seems big, but...
Identical to a volleyball court.
It sounds so... 60 feet sounds like so big.
The official ball used in tournament and league play is an 8.25-inch rubber-coated foam ball. The object of the game is to eliminate all opposing players by getting them out. This can be done by hitting an opponent, an opposing player, with a live thrown ball below the shoulder. Catching a live ball thrown by your opponent before it touches the ground. Definition: a live ball is a ball that has been thrown and has not touched anything, including the floor or ground, another ball, another player, official, or other item outside the field, wall, ceiling. During play, all players must remain within the boundary lines. Players may leave the boundary lines through their end line only to retrieve stray balls. They must also return through their end line. Games begin by placing the dodgeballs along the center line. 3 on one side.
These are what? Free what?
That's the...
So are you doing... So you're going to help...
That's the, rush line? Hold on. The game begins by placing the dodgeballs along the center line, 3 on one side of the center hash, and 3 on the other. Players then take position behind their end line, following a signal by the official. Teams may approach the center line to retrieve the balls. This signal officially starts the contest. Teams may only retrieve the 3 balls to the right of their center hash. Once a ball is retrieved, it must be taken. Oh, it's called the attack line.
There are only 6 balls ever? I thought there were 6.
Well, you only play with 6 to 10 players.
Alright, so yeah, so I wrote this all down. Attack line. So Reddit told me this.
Oh my goodness. This is already more rules than I.
Teams may only retrieve the 3 balls to the right of the center hash. Once a ball is retrieved, it must be taken behind the attack line before it can be legally thrown. The first team to legally eliminate all opposing players will be declared the winner. A 3-minute time limit has been established for each contest. What is this? Their team has been eliminated at the end of 3 minutes. The team with a greater number of players remaining will be declared the winner. Details on overtime can be found in the NADA rulebook. Each team will be allowed 1 30-second timeout per game. At this time, a team may substitute players into the game. 5-second violation. In order to reduce stalling, a violation will be called if a team in the lead controls all 6 balls on their side of the court for more than 5 seconds. This also applies to teams in a tie situation. More details can be found in the NADA rulebook. Rule enforcement. During pool play or regular season matches, rules will be enforced primarily by the honor system.
Alright, now you have to share it to the whole group.
Players will be expected to rule whether or not a hit was legal or whether they were legally eliminated.
Did this smell like BO out there, you guys?
Yes, yeah. I thought it was me.
I thought it was me.
No, Danny was saying like
it's
he was
Billy,
like,
it's Billy!
It's not me.
Danny was saying he was smelling people.
Yeah.
I was smelling people too and I could not figure out who
it was. I mean,
maybe it's the carpet.
Maybe it is the carpet. Like someone just CO'd all over the carpet.
BO'd all over the carpet? Or peed all over the carpet?
No, BO. Just like shook their armpit over
but
the
did
carpet.
Did you BO all over the carpet?
Stop. I don't know. No, it's right here. It stops here.
This is the same.
It starts right
here.
It's just like that entire, like.
What is that?
I don't know any of it.
Yeah,
It's strong, but
it's
like
Aaron.
Yes.
It's Aaron.
It was really strong.
He's right there.
It's not Aaron.
I think.
I took a really
okay,
big
Drake.
Breath.
Lay it out.
Okay, alright. So, alright, so this is what Ken said. Get my manuscript here.
No, this is good. This is good. Alright, so yesterday, Ken's like, you know what we are? We're the Avengers. Yes, but he doesn't stop there. So he's like, TJ is Iron Man because he's the brains of everything. But it doesn't end there. So he's like, I saw this coming. He's
no
like,
more.
Brandon, I know who you are. You're the Hulk. And then, but Brandon interjects and is like, you know, why can't Bob be the Hulk? Because he's the lumpy, he wears the green shirt.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And then this is like, and Ken says, no, he's too fat. And then he goes on to say, Andrew, you can be Ant-Man because you can be like big or small.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Mike is Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah.
And then Drake is, apparently I never got one.
You did not
get
included.
Of course, we all know who Captain America was. That's Ken. Ken's Captain America.
Oh my gosh.
I'm Captain America. And then Mikey has two choices. He can be one of the two. He can either be Falcon or Nick Fury because he's black.
So who's the other Mike? Oh, Mike, what did he say he was?
Mike Miller? He's Hawkeye.
Oh my gosh.
He's Hawkeye. And then Mikey can either be Falcon or Nick Fury.
Dude.
Those are his two options.
Too much, man.
Oh,
I can't believe he said that. Dude,
that was like, I mean, I don't even know. That like rivals what he did with Danny. I think that rivals it.
It does.
It rivals it. I don't know
Danny's
who wins.
Danny's more of a dangerous situation, but that's just so spontaneous.
That's just so like stupid and
like,
random. It's like, it's just like.
Kim knows who the Avengers are.
No, he talks to me about this. Dude, he watches Avenger cartoons on Cartoon Network. This 50-some-year-old man watches this.
Well, you were supposed
to. I didn't catch that at first because I couldn't believe it. I was talking about movies. No, this dude is talking about kids' cartoon shows. He watches this.
That's what they say.
Like,
and if I watch it, it's okay. But if a 50-something
yeah.
then it's really weird.
I don't get it, man. I don't get
dude,
that.
But no, dude, I told Brandon, I was like, dude, if I knew he was going to say that, I may not have even, like, taken that taken yesterday off. I would want
to
be there.
Like, I have to do it this time.
You
want to
hear yourself?
No.
I didn't know that.
Surely.
No, because I was like, oh, like, I didn't think I saw him, but I was like, I feel like that's what I'm doing.
Jenny, I'm so sorry. I'm
like
totally stopped with you.
They were done. That's all.
Oh, really?
Just 20.
But no, dude, that was hilarious. That was a lot.
I think
that was better than like we're like the Marines.
It was a lot more complicated than I thought.
I mean, this sounded like a whole like explanation of why he's saying this thing. No, but he said it in like this verse where he's like, "I'm about to say."
Yeah, he said there were 24
vaccinations,
and then he got
it. And then he rode away on his pallet jack. Like it was. Rode off into the sunset. Like it was like they dropped the line on you. Like sunset, boom, right away. It was like.
Hey, are you in the car?
Look at this intelligence.
Look at Brady, he has a litter box. Good job, Brady.
So what's this going on here?
My first, but if not, then I live in my
towels.
Okay, Jenny, what's on the agenda? You look like you're ready to.
Pastor Jenny.
Bridget.
I know his birthday party. It's easier to see.
No, we're not talking about Brady's birthday party.
We already talked about it.
That kid doesn't get a birthday since he's 15.
No more birthdays.
Yeah. We're Jehovah Jewish.
Jehovah Jewish.
Jehovah Jewish. No, we need to,
I don't need to give him a birthday party. He's fine with the box.
Yeah, he is. He's. He'll be able to find that
box.
No.
I could be here today, guys.
Just out
for, I invited a couple people from work.
Nice. I think I can only make it one weekend. I know, I can only come twice right now.
That's what I need to get from you guys. What weekend you say you can be there?
The 31st.
So you can come.
Yeah, we're not even playing on the
31st. Oh, yeah.
Not? Oh, dang it.
So is that both of you guys? You're both going to be going together? Or just Kelly?
Hopefully the 10th I'll be able to make it.
I can come on the 10th.
I am going to my parents on the 10th, man.
And that's
the 3rd.
It. That's
it
right now.
I want one
and what
weekend.
Else,
I can only come the 10th.
We won!
Right now.
Man needs his weekend.
A man needs his weekend.
Alright, well, looking at that, I mean.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. It's not, I mean, it's fine. It's totally fine. I'm just thinking,
This is like, they're not that hot. But do you like fireballs? They're less hot than fireballs. It's more like a hot.
What time is it over?
It goes from 1 to 3.
That's right.
1 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Anyway, I signed the contract. The ball should be.
Yeah. So we got the gym. The balls are going to be your Wednesday.
I ordered 2 whistles.
What gym is
it
going to be?
I saw that in a mesh bag. Legacy Park. Where we had the Memorial Day picnic at the Day Community Center over there. So, did we summit?
Oh, Justin, I think
Ready
you come more than
here.
Here. So he needs to tell you what Saturday is.
Not in the first week.
He can't come the 3rd because he has drill. He can come the 10th, I believe. And then the 17th. He cannot come the
20th. Justin's right. He's like, I didn't know it too. Okay, so he can come the 3rd. Not the 10th.
No.
Opposite.
The 10th?
He has drill on the 3rd.
I have drill on the 3rd. And then one of those weekends, I think Jared's going to be playing the bachelor party, too. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but they all need to
Holy
be
cow.
There, so.
Cause I'm there. Hold on.
Hey, by the way, I haven't heard nothing from that guy.
I think
guy.
They're going to have to build the dodgeball into the bachelor.
It's going
to
be like the day.
No,
day.
That's terrible.
Well, I mean, you'll have to, otherwise you'll have to do it in November.
Kevin can't
do it. I was saying we can do it on Halloween.
Yeah, but Zach has a son that is
going to want
a trick-or-treat.
No, he doesn't
have
a son.
We always have
a son. Yeah, don't. Oh.
I know, it's getting really complicated. I'm really sorry.
No, it's not.
It's okay, sorry.
Drake, fix. You're the first meeting you've been at. You need to fix all these problems. Now. He's not even listening.
What numbers can you crunch for? No, he's playing Pokemon.
I'm single and don't have a family, so I don't know any about this. So.
No,
I
don't
have a schedule like that before, so I just kind of just
He's like, just show up.
I actually, that's exactly how I was, too.
I really don't like planning things out, honestly.
So you have
everyone
like,
stay
that
you can
do. I almost need like to put names and make a little chart.
Go like this.
Draw pictures. Yeah. How many sign-ups have we had so far for dodgeball?
30?
Yeah, something like that. 30 or something.
Okay, we need to, we'll have the money Sunday and the things. So 32.
I know, I
can
only
come to
two.
Okay,
well, they'll be a cheapskate.
Zach, I haven't collected the money yet, but I got a couple guys.
So
like,
oh,
that's,
okay. That's
if they
I mean, they want to do it, and I got one guy that, I got a couple guys that might just, like, they might just, like, do it a couple times or something.
And I was going to say, don't worry about it. Yeah, those outside guys. I don't want them thinking, like, we're trying to, like,
okay. Yeah. Okay, well, that's good, because I kind of had to, like.
Yeah, don't even think about it.
Okay.
Just tell me to come out and play.
I should be there. I'm single. Don't do it.
3/17/24.
Oh, and not to put Drake down, not that he cares or nothing like that. He's just hanging out, guys. He's not,
Sorry, don't
let him. Sorry. No, I
this happens at work all the time. This happens all the time.
I'm happy you were here.
No, I'm glad, too. I'm glad to check it out. I just want you guys to know, like, you don't have to, like, have an official
Well, I don't think they...
You just fill the gap for us.
I don't think they really take it seriously.
No, they don't think they do either, man, so it doesn't even matter.
What?
I'm like...
No, I know about the third.
They also were going to write their applications when they can't come or be late because Amanda has a son.
That's what I wanted to go.
Okay. So everybody can come except for the 10th? That's not right.
These are no's.
Oh, so only we can. So everybody
we
can come
only
on the 10th.
This is ridiculous.
Hold on,
boy.
I'll be there. Zach, when are you going to be there?
I'm not going to be there at all.
Not that
I'm That's how I was looking for somebody to run for. Yeah. So Jackson's bachelor party is what day?
No. You have to ask.
what would work best for you guys? In November, or would it work best to do
last year? Why did they want to do November?
I don't know. I think we can.
Yeah, well, we were talking about going golfing.
Oh, you know about what?
Stupid cold.
I think it's gonna end up being like we're gonna go see a movie or something, man. Just
he can golf, man. He can golf in November, can't you? Or is it not
paintball in the wintertime?
Well, that's what we did for mine. That was the best. I mean, but no, November though. Is the golf course open in November?
Possibly, yes. Some of them might still be open, but
second week in November.
Yeah, sure. That's our bachelor party. We'll make it work, man. Whatever. You only get to do this one time in your life. Unless she dies. Again.
I mean, if it's easy to do it like on one of these days and work dodgeball in, then we can do that. But if you guys have like a jam packed full day, then obviously.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm used to having a jam packed full day. That keeps my attention on everything.
Dude.
It's totally fine, dude. Yeah.
Maybe we might have to have it on the 10th.
What's up?
10th of October.
So then
we'll just go to dodgeball and just.
Brady's birthday
after?
Party. Brady's birthday party is after dodgeball. It starts at like 5:30.
That's not good. That's just crazy. Like,
so whatever you guys are doing needs to be like early morning.
That's terrible.
Bachelor
party. Bachelor party. 6 a.m.
Bachelor party
breakfast.
So early. Everybody thought we were so crazy, and I was like, no,
you don't
have time for it later. You can do it in November for the bachelorette party. That's why I was like, let's get it done in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
Second weekend in November, man.
That's what I'm saying. We need to find the first for the bachelor party. Yeah. What's what happened in the first weekend?
He has drill.
New York.
Oh, and he has drill.
Just figuring out, like, we can schedule these games or, like, who can be there.
No, who can be there. Okay, oh, great. We're fine. We got this. Yeah.
Do we have other people that can, like, possibly be there and, like, help it?
It's Reese's birthday, so there might be a birthday party that Jared is required to be at that day.
Like, help setting stuff up.
We just need, like, an explosion to go off. Because whenever, like, bombs and natural disasters happen,
that happens when
people put everything aside.
You could do it like a day at a turkey bowl and have.
Is that still on?
No.
Holy cow.
Is that recording this?